Good morning, Wake. How we doing?
What's up, guys?
Guys, here we are again. The residents are still in charge of Wake, and we couldn't be more excited. Our series Wake Up Edition 2 is here.
Week 2. That's right.
My name's Cooper.
This is Bree.
And we're so excited to be up here with you. So today we're going to be talking about the second part of this series. If you're taking notes, you can write at the top of your journal, it's time to stop hitting snooze. Specifically, stop hitting snooze. We're talking through the phases of waking up. And last week, if you were here, we talked about opening your eyes specifically to the truth of the gospel and how that should radically change everything that you live for. Every way that you live your life should switch once you believe the gospel.
Absolutely.
And so today we're going to be talking about the second phase of waking up, and that is stop hitting snooze. And guys, I just got to confess to all of you today.
So
the other day we were talking, Bree and I and the other residents, and we were thinking through, man, what are the reasons that students hit snooze? And we thought of three reasons, and I literally said, like, I think this pretty much covers all of the reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
And then this morning I did, I found another reason of why you would hit snooze. So Bree, if you just want to briefly speak on what I have done this morning and then maybe what the spiritual implications of that could be.
Y'all, I don't know if you guys know that it's daylight savings, but...
It's daylight savings.
Basically, we all woke up an hour earlier than normal. And Coop just didn't even hear his alarm.
I didn't even hear it.
He didn't even hear his alarm. He got to wake late today. And I was looking at him and I was like, Coop, that's convicting.
Yeah.
And he was like, tell me, Bree, why is that convicting? And I was like... How many of us do not even know the voice of God? Like, we don't even spend time in God's word. Therefore, we cannot recognize the voice of God. And so when we hear the Holy Spirit saying, like, wake up, wake up, wake up, we don't even have ears to hear because we don't recognize his voice. And so as we were just laughing and talking about, hey, what does it look like mornings where we don't even hear our alarm and therefore snooze it? What does that actually have to say about our heart in as it relates to our relationship with the Lord? Like, how many of us are not spending time in God's word? Therefore, we do not recognize the voice of God. And because we do not recognize the voice of God, we're hitting snooze on a relationship with him. And so that's your extra little... extra reason as to why we hit snooze.
You're welcome. I did a field study test
yeah,
this morning.
Yeah, he was our
experiment. It was all for you guys. That's why I didn't hear my alarm. It was for no other reason than that. It really wasn't even daylight savings. I was just... Jonathan Linder, a faithful friend, he called me, which is maybe even more spiritual implications of you need a friend sometimes that's going to call you and wake you up when you don't hear your alarm. So that's your little bonus...
Your bonus reason.
Yeah, that's right. It's just whenever you say, I think that covers it all, the Lord might come along and humble you and give you a fourth reason and make you the reason that you discover it.
Absolutely.
So, but we do have three other reasons that we thought, hey, why are students and us at times hitting the snooze button on what God has for us?
Yeah, and to unpack this, y'all, like, when we talk about hitting the snooze button, we're really talking about, like, hey, what are excuses in your life, in our life, that keep us from going all in for Jesus or sleeping on the abundant life that God has for us? And so as we unpack these three reasons, man, our prayers that y'all would be encountered by the love and truth and power of who God is, and ultimately that relationship and that encounter would absolutely change the way that y'all live. And so the first reason that we hit snooze is because we have a high view of others. And so many of us, man, we value the opinion of others over the opinion of God. And man, this was super challenging to me, I think, as we thought about this, because this totally described me in middle school. Like, I really cared about what my friends thought of me, really cared about popularity, really cared about what I wore, what I talked like, what people thought of me. And I think in so many ways describes us today. Like, there are so many days where I wake up seeking the approval of man and not of God. And so we're going to unpack kind of, man, like, where there might be sin in that and how we can turn to Jesus. So it's up on the screen, but Galatians 1:10 says, "For now am I seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Which,
sheesh.
Man, that got to convict us of, hey, how many of us are waking up and we are more concerned with what our friends are going to think about what we wear, what our friends are going to think about how we act, what our friends are going to think about what grade we got on a test and how many of us are failing to live with the reality of, man, there is a God who cares about the things that we say, a God who is holding us accountable to the things that we do. And do we live for the approval of our peers and the approval of that boy or that girl and that our approval from our parents? Or are we truly living to please God? Because, man, y'all, to live for the approval of man, not only is it ungodly, as this verse would say, like if you are seeking the approval of man, not of God, you are not a servant of Christ. So not only is it ungodly, but in many ways, like it's idolatry. Like to view any person of higher value or of greater significance than God is to put another God before the one true God and to put other people before God. And so not only is it unbiblical, but it is also tiring. And Coop and I were talking about this morning, like as he was sharing last week, just this idea of treading water, that when we're seeking after the approval of man, we're just left treading water because it's tiring and it's exhausting because man will never be able to fulfill and satisfy you in the way that Jesus can. And so, yeah, I guess the challenge there would be to spend time in God's word in the morning, hear what God has to say about you, that you are worthy, that you are chosen, that you are created in his image, that you are loved, that you are not forsaken, and don't chase after the things that the world has for you.
Yeah, I mean, Galatians 1:10 would be a perfect mirror verse for all you people that write Bible verses on your mirror. Get an Expo marker. Don't do a Sharpie. That's a mistake you don't want to make. But
did you make that mistake?
I haven't made that mistake. I have made the mistake of not hearing my alarm. So thanks for reminding me of that. But for real, Galatians 1:10, like that is a verse that I think will encourage your heart every morning as you think through, hey, how am I going to live through my day? What am I going to live for? Am I going to live for the approval of man, for the approval of God? It's convicting and it's true. And you kind of actually started to touch on the next point of, hey, the first reason we talked about is a high view of others. But a second reason that I think we hit snooze is a high view of self. And so it's important, like, that we recognize, hey, how should we view ourselves? We just talked about, hey, God says all of these things are true of me, and that is very true. But I think when I say a high view of self, what I mean is you like comfort. You have a high view of comfort. We love our comfort more than we love God or what he would call us to, and we don't feel like we want to get in God's word. It's all based on our feelings. Like, well, my feelings tell me this, so that's my guiding compass. If I don't feel like getting in God's word today, then that must mean God doesn't want me to get in his word, which I would tell you is a blatant lie.
It's a lie from the pit of hell.
That is right. And so we don't feel like getting in God's word. We don't feel like praying because we'd rather do other things with our time. Ultimately, like, we don't feel like God is worth our time. And even in the way that's phrased is like our time. We even have a misconception of, hey, it's my time. I get to do with it what I will. But man, I would tell you every breath you have is a gift from God. And he's entrusted you to use it for his glory. I mean, Luke 9:23 is very clear. And it says, and he said to all, if Jesus is talking here, so we should double listen. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It does not say, if anyone wants to come with me, let him grab his extra comfy blanket, bring his pillow and his stuffed animal. If you still sleep with stuffed animal, I'm not going to judge. And like, let's take a nap. You know, like carrying a cross is something that's heavy and isn't, I'll actually go as far as to say it definitely was not an enjoyable experience when Jesus was carrying his cross, so much so that someone else had to come and help him after he had been, brutally whipped and beaten. But that is a verse that I think if you're thinking, man, I want to live for my own comfort, I want to be comfortable, this verse should hopefully wake you up, if you will, of, man, we're not called to live this easy, comfortable life and call it Christianity. Another verse that comes to mind is Matthew 13:44. I was telling Brie, I was like, I think this is my favorite parable. Yeah. And it's super easy to remember. Parable is like a story, for just so you know. I'm in the Institute, so like I know words like that. But Matthew 13:44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. So as you can tell, I'm sitting up because that specific verse, you could memorize a whole story in one verse. So like maybe add it to your list. But is that true of us? Like, do we genuinely believe that God is worth selling everything for? This man recognized, hey, I've found a treasure that is worth more than I have ever owned. And he said, I want to sell everything I've ever had to go and buy this field that I might enjoy this treasure. I don't know what that treasure was, but what our belief is now is like, hey, Jesus is that treasure. Yeah. As you guys are going through the fields of life, if you will, and you find this treasure buried, man, the cost is everything. Jesus calls you to give up everything that you have, the comforts and enjoyments of life. And don't hear me saying that there's no joy.
But there's a lot of joy.
There's so much joy and freedom, and that's with the treasure that you're buying. But what you're giving up is your own way. You're saying, okay, I'm tired of going my own way. It's exhausting. Like I said last week, I'm tired of treading water. And for me, it was morality. And am I willing to get rid of that to entrust, hey, like, God is better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, man, what described me in middle school was like, I think I just wanted enough of Jesus to call myself a Christian. Yeah. And to say I was saved, but I didn't want enough of Jesus that would actually call me to deny myself, to pick up my cross, to be convicted of sin and to chase Jesus. And so, man, I think I would ask y'all, like, who is the Jesus that you serve? Like, are you serving a Jesus that is just asking for comfort? And obviously, from what Coop just said, like, that is not the Jesus that we serve. We serve a Jesus who is calling us to lay down our possessions and our things that we store up here on earth and all of our comforts in order to seek him. And so, man, the challenge of, like, hey, following Jesus isn't always easy. It's not always the convenient thing to do. It's not always the comfortable thing to do. But there is abundant life yeah. in following Jesus
life
because he is good. Yeah.
John 10:10, we talked about it last week.
I love it. And we wanted to unpack too, just Romans 12:1-2. This was like a life verse for me. I don't know if y'all have life verses, but this was a verse that really, like, every single morning when I would wake up before I go to school, I would repeat this to me, to myself. Preach it to myself before I would go to school, but it's up on the screen. It just says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, that this is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. And man, I think after, yeah, just hearing what you say, guys, what does it look like in view of the mercy of God, like in view of the gospel, in view of Jesus, to offer our bodies and to offer our lives as living sacrifices to God, that we would not be conformed to the patterns of this world, that we wouldn't be conformed by the patterns of comfort and the patterns of sin and the patterns of popularity and the patterns of conveniency, but that we would be transformed by the gospel, that we would renew our minds each morning in God's word and seek to live a life that is radically different. And to live a life that is radically different will beg y'all to live a set apart life. And you won't look like your friends, and it might be lonely, and it might not always be fun. But because God is good, because God is holy, he has invited you into a relationship with him that is rich, and it is worth it. And it's a story that he's invited y'all into by the
absolutely.
Gospel.
Absolutely. I love that. I think those are all great points, and I mean, it makes me think of our third point, if you just want to go into that one.
Yeah, our third reason as to why you might hit snooze, and this one we really wanted to unpack, like as we talked about wake up, not only did we want y'all's eyes to be awakened to the reality of who Jesus is, the power of the gospel, the life he has invited you into, but once we have a right understanding of the gospel and a right understanding of who Jesus is, then we cannot help to tell everyone about it. Yeah. And so, man, we know that Jesus has called us to tell people about our faith, to proclaim the gospel, to go therefore and make disciples. But I think often we hit snooze and we buy the lie that we are inadequate or that man, we cannot share the gospel because we have a low view of God, which is the third point, that man, we hit snooze because we have a low view of God. We know we don't have the power to evangelize and to do the most, and ultimately, we don't trust that God will. Like, we know that we don't have power to change hearts, but we ultimately don't trust that God can move and that God can work through us. And so, man, there's a lot of things to say to this. My prayer for y'all is that when you would leave this room, like, hey, if you believe that the gospel is true, like if you believe that Jesus actually died, that he actually resurrected, that he actually has given way for you to receive eternal life, then that ought to change everything about the way that you live. And if you actually believe in the power of the gospel, then it would be the most unloving thing to not tell your friends about it. Like it genuinely would be the most unloving thing for you to not tell your friends about Jesus, because there is a world that is broken, that is lost. Friends that you sit by in school, friends that that you're in class with, people in your own home who do not know Jesus are lost and living their own way apart from Christ, and that is not a good way. And so Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we see what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus has commanded us to go, therefore, and make disciples. But I want to point out these two beautiful promises we see in the beginning of the verse and the end of the verse. Jesus says, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he gives us this commandment to go, therefore, make disciples, to baptize and to teach. And then he promises at the end of the verse that surely I am with you always, even till the end of the age. And so I think often we do not share the gospel with people because we don't actually believe in the power of God. And what I want to share with y'all today is that, man, in Jesus, if you love Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no space or situation you walk into without the power, peace, and presence of the Spirit. That Jesus has promised you that he has all authority on heaven and on earth. Like God reigns over all things. Therefore, he is going before you in all things. And then not only is he above it all and have authority over it all, but he has promised to be with you in all things. Like he has promised to not forsake you. He has promised the Holy Spirit to be inside of you. And so, man, if y'all are following Jesus, like you are temples of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us that in Jesus that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so there is freedom there, that as y'all go about your school day and you are constantly, like y'all are constantly encountering people who do not know Jesus, and the most loving thing y'all can do is to tell your friends about Jesus if you believe in the power of the gospel. And so on your own strength, yeah, you cannot share the gospel. You have zero effort, zero strength that you can muster up in order to have some type of self-made confidence and self-made strength. But in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is working within you, and you have a promise that the power, peace, and presence of the Spirit will follow you into all spaces and situations. And so, yeah, I think something that convicted me a lot in middle school was just the idea, like this is really simple, but man, like every single set of eyes y'all look at every single day lies someone who either knows Jesus or they don't. Someone who is going to spend eternity in hell separated from God, or eternity in heaven in relationship with God. And so allow that to be the framework in which you see everyone, like every person you encounter, whether that be in the grocery store or in your home or at school or wherever it might be, at different sports and different activities, like every set of eyes you look at will lie someone who either knows Jesus or they don't. And so that ought to change the way that we live. I was reading this morning in Matthew 9 when it talks about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we serve a God, the Lord of the harvest, who is sending forth laborers. And so if y'all know Jesus, not only are you a follower of Jesus, but he has called you to be a laborer and to walk in the work, the beautiful works that God has laid before you. And so that's what we want to challenge y'all with, that like, hey, middle school could look different if y'all would radically follow Jesus and tell your friends about him. And yeah, there's just more to life than getting through middle school. Like, there is an eternity to live for. There is a kingdom to be advanced. There is disciples to be made. And we pray that that would radically change the way that y'all live.
Absolutely. I love the analogy you made of just the eyes. Yeah. Of like people, behind every set of eyes is a soul that has an eternal destination. And I think about it like this. If imagine you are walking throughout your middle school and everyone above their head had a little word that said car wreck or safe.
Wow.
And every time you saw them, and if it said car wreck above them, you knew, hey, the next time they get in a car, it's going to wreck and they could be seriously injured. Imagine how you would talk to those people. Hey, you're going to get in a car wreck the next time you get in a car. You have to walk home from school today. I know that sounds crazy, but I can see above your head there's this label. I know it's crazy. And obviously it would be weird to explain that, whatever. But like, imagine the passion that you would have to make sure that you could keep the people in your school safe. Like that, we don't have those labels above our heads, but that is there is a reality that, hey, every person is ultimately headed towards one of two destinations. And you have the ability to share with them the truth that has changed your life and hopefully changed your destination. Like, we are all headed towards hell unless the gospel invades and we recognize, hey, Jesus paid the price for me and I'm going to live the way he would call me to live. I'm going to make him the Lord of my life is what that means. And if you could talk to people in a way that was like, hey, you have to listen to me. You are headed towards eternal destruction. Be like, whoa, I'm just trying to get to my locker, man. like it's a pressing matter. Like it's not this casual thing of like, ah, man, I didn't share my faith this week. Yeah. Like there are people and God is sovereign. And so that means he's in control of everything. Like he will save like people, but why not be a part of it?
Yeah.
Why not partake in it?
And I think I always put it in the way of like, hey, because God is sovereign, like if y'all were to just like hide underneath a rock and never share the gospel ever in your life, like God is faithful and sovereign and he will like prevail. The gospel mission that was initiated in Genesis, like God is going to be faithful to continue to enact his rescue mission. And yet if you were to hide under a rock and never share your gospel, you would be walking in disobedience to what Jesus has commanded and called you. And so yes, we get to rest under the sovereignty of who God is and surrender our friends' eternities to Jesus. And yet we get to be obedient to God and we get to be obedient to what God has called and commanded us to. And so live with that reality that like, hey, for the friends of y'all that don't know Jesus, trust the Lord with their salvation, trust the Lord with their eternity, but be a part of what God is doing to save humanity because he's invited you into it.
Yeah.
It's good.
And so Bree, there was a moment in your life you just said where you were like, man, every pair of eyes has a destination. Yeah. And that was when you essentially stopped hitting snooze. So you have a cool story that I think is all of us would be blessed by. So I'd love if you just, hey, want to share, hey, what did it look like when Bree stopped hitting snooze?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And kind of like unpack and talk through that.
I love that. Yeah, man. Oh, I think middle school for me was probably a lot like y'all of like even what Coop was talking about last week of just kind of walking in morality. I was wanting to please people and not please God, but I was raised in a Christian home, and so I knew what God's word said, but wasn't living in the light and the power of the gospel. And it was in eighth grade that the Lord absolutely wrecked my life and drew me to himself and saved my heart. And I think for me there, it was a reality of like, hey, I don't think I believed that Jesus was Savior and Lord. I think I had a head knowledge of like, okay, yeah, Jesus can save me from hell. He can save me from my sins. But in eighth grade, the Lord just convicted me of this reality of like, hey, not only do I have the power to save you from sin and save you from hell and save you from like your current distress and discontentment and dissatisfaction, but because I am Lord, then like when you follow me, your life has to bow in surrender. Like if I am actually Lord and holy and good and sovereign, then your only response is to lay your life down and to follow me. And so this was like the middle of my eighth grade year, the Lord like completely shook my life. I was in Africa, my parents shipped me off, and the Lord just brought me to a knowledge of who he is and transformed my heart. And from there, like everything shifted. And I grew up in a public school, and so for those of y'all who, I mean, I guess y'all experience this in any school you're at, but my public school
walking
was
the halls of homeschool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. growing up in a public school, like every single morning when I would wake up, I was hit with the reality of just the brokenness of the world. Like I was surrounded by people who were like hate. Not only were they not following God, like I was surrounded by people who hated God, who were outspoken atheists, who did not believe in a God and wanted nothing to do with God. And so I was constantly being hit with the reality of this world, and had friends who were pursuing drinking and partying and all these things. And I remember coming home from school one day, like crying to my mom because my best friend from kindergarten didn't invite me to her birthday party. It was really rough. And
that's real. That's real.
Really real. And I'm like crying to my mom, and I looked at her and I was like, "Mom, I have nothing," which is like so classic. I have nothing. And my mom looked at me and said something that really, I think, changed the way that I lived throughout high school was, she just said, "Hey, Gaps, like, you might feel like you have nothing right now, but because you have Jesus, you actually have everything. And your friends who are doing whatever they want and living however they want, they might think they have everything. Like, they might have all the friends and they might be doing whatever, but because they don't have Jesus, they actually have nothing." And that, like, radically changed the way that I lived. Of like, oh my goodness, it might be lonely, it might be hard, it might be scary, but because I have Jesus, I have everything I could need. And so this kind of refixed the way that I viewed high school. And in high school, when I finally stopped hitting snooze and didn't allow the fears and insecurities of this world to have a hold on my heart, I watched like radical, I would say, revival take place in my high school. And to really share with y'all like what that looked like. I think when we think about revival, we're just expecting to go into the city of Dallas or like to get in our school and just see hundreds of people at once come to know Jesus. And I think God could do it, and I think he can do it. I think he does do it. But the revival that I think God was more concerned with in my own life was like, hey, Gabs, what would happen? Like, what revival could take place if you would just spend time in my word each morning, if you would spend time in prayer, if you would just tell one friend today about me? And so it was that revival that radically transformed my high school experience. I had friends of mine. We would spend time in God's word together in the morning. We would, every single Tuesday, three of my friends, because sometimes following Jesus is lonely, three of my friends, we would wake up at 6 in the morning, and we would just pray through the schools of our hallway. And we would pray over lockers. We would pray over teachers. We literally would walk through our school with our hands wide open, praying out loud throughout the hallways, which that might seem crazy to y'all, and that might seem vulnerable, and it was vulnerable. Like, it was scary, and it did force us to move outside of our comforts and outside of our comfort zone. And yet we watched God rescue souls in that. We watched just really sweet things take place in that. And then ultimately the Lord had placed in me and my friends, my small group of friends, just this reality of, hey, what would it look like for us to share the gospel with our classmates? And so sometimes that looked like standing up on the lunch table in the middle of the school day and preaching the gospel. Other times it looked like we would put on these like really like nothing glamorous. We put on these little student-led events where my friends would, they would be doing worship. I'd have other friends sharing their testimony, and then we would get to preach the gospel. And in those 4 years of high school, we got to watch over 600 people give their lives to the Lord. And I don't say that to be like, 600 people. But I'm also like 600 people. Like there is like crazy things that can happen when y'all just choose to say yes to what God is doing. And sometimes y'all, like sometimes those conversations and events didn't look like doing this wild massive thing where we had worship and we preached the gospel and did an altar call and all these other things. Most times it looked like those conversations that we got to have in class with just one person. Or most times it looked like that conversation around the lunch table when people are asking why you're fasting and you get to have the conversation of who God is. Like most times it didn't look like this crazy wild thing, but what I found was that the Lord, because he is God, like he is doing extraordinary supernatural things in the ordinary and mundane moments of our life. And so, man, if y'all, again, I said this before, but like if y'all believe in the reality of who God is, like if you believe in the power and if you are convinced in the gospel and believe that Jesus died for you and that not only did he die defeating death and sin, but he raised from the grave proclaiming life and victory over sin and over death. Like if you believe in that, then it ought to radically transform the way that you live. And it would be the most loving thing to do, to tell your friend who is depressed, to tell your friend who is anxious, to tell your friend who is obsessed with popularity, to tell your friend who is obsessed with striving after sports and grades and the next best thing. Like, the most loving thing you can do for that friend is to tell them about the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel. And so you might see wild revival or whatever you want to call it, but the revival that I think God is concerned with is, hey, what would it look like if y'all would wake up and spend time in God's word and spend time with Jesus and tell one friend about the Lord and watch discipleship take place in your schools, because y'all can actually do it by the power of the gospel. Like, you are not too young. You are not ill-equipped. You do not need to know all the things about every single verse in scripture. Like, the power of the Holy Spirit is working inside of y'all. And so, yeah, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. And so that is the call that I think we want to leave y'all with, is what would it look like to wake up, to open your eyes to the reality of who God is, to stop hitting snooze. And then next week, we're going to get more into what it looks like to just, when your feet hit the ground, to run after Jesus. But man, we love you guys so much and believe that God wants to use y'all in your schools.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about, hey, it starts in the quiet moments of prayer and spending time in God's word. And even before Bree and I both got on stage today, we were praying, hey, God, you have to use this time, because if it's just Coop, like, it's not going to be good. And so even today, as you're like, man, they get to sit on a stage and share God's word, like, we still are like, man, God, it has to be you through me, because I am sinful and I'm going to mess it up.
I literally, every time I would like know I was going to go share the gospel with someone, I would always pray like, Lord, you're going to have to show up. Yeah. Like, you are going to have to show up, because I have nothing to offer. And yet in our weaknesses, Christ's power is perfected. And so we get to walk in the light.
And be encouraged by that. If you're thinking, man, I have nothing to offer, like, you're in good company. And so you can pray and trust that God will help you with that.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to invite the band to come on back up here, and I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to give you guys a little bit of time to reflect and think through, hey, like, what does this mean for me? Like, what is my next step that I should take, and how can I do that well? So I'm going to pray for us, and then the band is going to sing a song. Don't feel like you have to stand up and sing. You can do that if you want to, but I would encourage you to just, man, sit there and think through. And then after that, Aaron is going to dismiss you guys. So if you would bow your heads. God, we love you so much. And we are so encouraged by stories of you using faithful people. And God, I thank you that, man, you want to use us. God, why not us? God, I pray that you would reveal in our hearts, man, why is it that we're hitting snooze? Is it that we didn't even know the alarm was going off, as we discovered this morning from me, God? Is it because we have too high a view of others, too high a view of ourselves, or we don't view you as powerful enough, God? Man, whatever that is, I pray that you would reveal that to us and give us practical action steps so that we can change it. Jesus, we love you, and we are so grateful for the fact that, man, by your blood, we've been made righteous. In your name we pray, amen.